Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I direct your attention today to the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 24, especially verse 38, and these words, why do doubts arise in your hearts? Well, have you ever seen a member of the military come back from his service and surprise his family? They didn't know he was coming, and he shows up at the door. You probably have seen videos like that where the family is surprised. He didn't tell them that he was coming. Maybe it's happened to some of you where a loved one has surprised you in a way like that. At first, it looks like the family can't believe their eyes. Quite often, they'll shrink back. Sometimes they'll fall to the ground. Their hands go over their mouth or over their eyes. Maybe they might start crying. They don't know what to think. And then the next thing that usually happens is they jump into each other's arms and they're hugging. And then you'll almost always see the push back and the look as if they can't believe their eyes. And you might even hear them say something like that. Is it really you? I can't believe it. Sometimes the unexpected, even if it's really, really good, sometimes the unexpected can be startling, even frightening. You don't know what to think. And we don't want to trust our eyes lest our hearts be broken. Is it really you? I don't want to believe that it's you, because if it's not, my heart might be broken. Now, all of that is true for the disciples in today's text. Absolutely unexpected. They didn't want to see or didn't expect to see Jesus. And so Jesus asks them, why do doubts arise in your hearts? But he's not just asking his disciples. He's asking you. Why do doubts rise in your hearts? You see, it's a good practice of faith to ask that question. Surely Jesus already knows why doubts arise in our hearts. He's not asking because he's looking for an answer. He's not asking because he's ignorant of what goes on in our hearts and minds. He knows. He's asking because he's trying to push his disciples and us to ask that question. And so I ask you this morning, what causes doubts in your mind? Why do you sometimes doubt your Savior? Well, in today's text, some of the verbs in the text kind of give us some indication as to what was going on in the hearts and the minds of the disciples. So if you look at verse 37, it says, the disciples were startled and frightened. Common human experience. I've already kind of illustrated that. Common human experience. They didn't expect him to show up. There he is. They were startled. Maybe some of them fell to the ground, their hands over their mouths and over their eyes. They didn't expect to see him. And they were startled, and then they were frightened because they saw something they absolutely did not expect to see. And in fact, they were so startled and frightened that they didn't see Jesus. If you look at the text, they didn't see him. They thought they saw a spirit. They thought he was a ghost. Their eyes were blinded so that they couldn't see Jesus. So they were startled and they were frightened. And then if you turn to verse 38, you will see that that caused them to be stirred up. The translation in your text says they were troubled, but the root word there is to stir up. Sort of like if you were making some chocolate milk and you stirred it up. The milk would be troubled. That's kind of the root word there. So they were stirred up in their hearts. They were unsettled. They were going every direction at the same time. They were stirred up, and that stirring up began to bring about doubts in their hearts. The disciples didn't examine those doubts. They didn't ask the question, why are doubts arising in our hearts? They didn't allow faith to overwhelm or to overcome their fears, and those fears began to stir round and round and round, and the fear blinded their eyes. Blind eyes results in doubting hearts. They trusted their eyes, even though they were blind, they trusted their eyes more than they trusted the word of their Savior. Jesus had promised them that he would rise, and Jesus said to them, "It's me." And yet, they trusted their eyes more than they trusted the word of Jesus. You see, unexamined doubts may be harmful to our faith. I have to be careful here, because not all doubts do the same thing. And in fact, in some cases, doubt can actually strengthen our faith if used properly. So I suspect most of us in this room have had some doubts from one time or another. And I don't want you to leave this place going, "Oh my goodness, I'm not a Christian anymore because I had doubts." That's not what we're saying. Do not despair if you've gone through a period of doubt in your life. But here's what Jesus is saying. Examine those doubts. Take a look at them. Ask yourself, why am I doubting? Why are these? What's causing these doubts to arise in my heart? Confronting those doubts can actually strengthen our faith, because we see that faith can overwhelm our doubts, that the power of the word is stronger than anything that might bring about doubts in our minds. But doubts that are allowed to stir will keep on stirring. It's unlikely that many of us in this room doubt the resurrection of Jesus. It's kind of a bedrock of our faith. We've just gone through the great joy of Easter. We celebrate that, and we're confident in that. But we may doubt a few other things, more often dealing with our daily life. So, when you are unhealthy, when you're sick or you're injured, you may begin to doubt whether Jesus really knows or cares about how much you're hurting. And you may ask yourself, why isn't he fixing this? Why isn't he answering my prayers? Why is he making it all better? Or maybe you can't pay your bills, or you can't find a good job, and you may begin to doubt. Does he even know? Does he care? Or perhaps you're lonely, you're frightened, scared, hurt, alone. Relationships have been broken, and you don't know how to heal those relationships, and you begin to wonder. Can he make things better? Doesn't he promise to give me what I pray for? Where is he? Why is he not working? There's all sorts of reasons we may doubt his daily care for us. There might even be a few people in this room that are doubting about building a new building. Is he going to take care of us? Is he going to pay for it? There are all sorts of reasons why we may doubt. And doubts may affect whether or not we see Jesus. Unexamined doubt may blind our eyes. If we don't ask, what does the Word of God say, compared to what my eyes see, we may also be blinded. And when we can't see Jesus, we don't believe in him. Now that's when doubts are very harmful. Unexamined doubt. The kind of doubt that doesn't do what Jesus says today. Ask the question, why do doubts arise in your hearts? It may be very harmful to our faith. But the disciples in today's text do get to see Jesus. This is an amazing event. Jesus wants them to see him. I want you to go home with that. Jesus wants his disciples to see him. So last week we read in the gospel lesson about Thomas. You remember Thomas? And Jesus said, "See my hands and my feet. Put your finger here. Put your hand into my..." He wanted Thomas to see him. Now look at verse 39 of our gospel lesson. Three times in one verse, Jesus says, see. That's remarkable. You should take note of it. Three times in one verse, Jesus says, see. So verse 39, see my hands, he says to the disciples there. See my hands and my feet, that it is me. And then he says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. You can see for yourself. It's me. I'm here. And then he shows him, I skipped the one. Touch me and see. So see. He wants the disciples. And you're reading the text here. He wants you to see him. And then if that were not enough, just look at verse 43. It says, your translation says, and he said, do you have any food here? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And it says, your translation says he ate it before them. But it doesn't mean sort of chronological. It means he ate it in front of them. There's only one reason that we'd be saying that. He wanted them to see it. He ate it right in front of them. We would say it like that. He ate it right in front of them. He wanted them to see it. Jesus wanted his disciples to see him as the risen Savior. He's truly risen, and he wants you to see him. Because that's how he answers our doubts. At least one of the ways he answers our doubts. He pushes them, and now today, you, to see him by examining our doubts. And he answers our doubts with the power of his word. So this really is Jesus, and he really is speaking to you today. See me. See me. I'm alive. I'm risen. Today, the disciples got to see his actual body and presumably got to touch it. John says later in his epistle, what we've touched with our own hands. They got that. So where do you see Jesus today? First of all, in his word. There in his word is Jesus. These are not words on a page. These are not just some sort of academic exercise. This is the voice of Jesus to you in his word. He speaks to you. There's Jesus. And you should see him in that word. Where else do you see him? Of course, in the sacraments. There he is, in the water and the word. And you see Jesus. It's not just your pastor. God uses your pastor. But Jesus is the one who, through his spoken word, is doing the miracle. And you see Jesus. And there he is on the table before you, in his body and his blood. It's not just bread and wine, as so many people tell us. It is the very body and blood of Jesus. You see Jesus. And he wants you to see him in his word and in his sacraments. So he is risen. He is risen for us. He is risen, in the words of today's text, if you look at verse 47, he's risen to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus' sort of summary of what's supposed to go on from now, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. He's risen to destroy your doubts in the present, in his own presence in word and sacrament, with this proclamation to you today. His word into your hearts. He has risen to give you, as he says in the first verse of today's text, his peace that is the result of his risen presence for us. This you take home. Jesus is risen for you, and he wants you to see him. So the Holy Spirit is at work to give us the eyes of faith that the disciples struggled with in today's text. But all these centuries later, the same Spirit that was at work in them is at work in you to give you the eyes of faith. And the doubts that the disciples demonstrated in today's text were answered by the presence of Jesus. They were truly like loved ones who got an unexpected, a surprising visit from a loved one. Their emotions were unstable. They were all over the place. They were stirred up, and they didn't know what they could see or what they could believe. And it took a while for them to come to faith. So again, just look at the verbs in today's text. First it has, they were frightened, they were startled, and they were becoming afraid. And then it says that they were stirred up, and that doubts were rising. And then go to verse 41. They still disbelieved. That's kind of remarkable, isn't it? All this going on. It says they still disbelieved, but then look what happens. Their disbelief was no longer because they were startled or frightened, stirred up, or had doubts. Now why are they disbelieving? Because of joy and marveling. And that's exactly what happens when a loved one shows up. You're so joyful and you're so marveling at what happens. You're like, I can't believe it. Is it really you? That's what was happening at the end of the text. You see the transition that happens in the disciples' lives? They start out frightened, startled and frightened, and they end up with joy and marveling at the presence of their Savior. Jesus moves them. He acknowledges that we have doubts, and He moves us from the doubts to firm belief to joy and marveling. And here's how He does it. His Holy Spirit opens us up to the truth. Now that could be one theme. I didn't preach on this, but I can't avoid it. So I want to tell you, go home and read the rest of chapter 24, right? Please do that. And look for the word open. Now you'll see it here. I'm going to give it to you. In chapter 24, verse 45, that's in our text, it says, Jesus opened their minds to the Scriptures. So one way that He helps us to see Him as He opens us up to the truth. So 24:45, Jesus opened their minds. 24:32, so before our text, Jesus opened the Scriptures. He opened the Word of God to them. And 24:31, He opened their eyes so they could see Him. That's the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The Holy Spirit of God is in the process, always, of opening us up to the truth so that we can see Jesus. And that's how He works. That's how He moves us from fear, startling and fear and troubled and doubts arising to joy and marveling and faith. Jesus wants you to see Him. Yes, the disciples got to see Him with their own eyes. Last week we read, however, Jesus says Himself. It's not the disciples who got to see Him and touch Him that were blessed. Who is blessed? You are. Blessed, not the disciples. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You are the blessed ones. That's what Jesus says. You see Jesus with the eyes of faith in His Word and in His sacraments. And He strengthens you in this way, by leading you out of your doubts. I'm going to guess that everybody in this room, somewhere in the future, is going to struggle with something. Something's going to cause you to doubt His continued love for you. Health, finances, relationships, jobs. When your hearts are stirred and doubts begin to rise, believing is seeing. You hear that? Believing is seeing. That's God's gift to you in the risen Savior. Faith. And with the eyes of faith, you see a risen Savior. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding, keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's Word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.